You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Our next guest has spent most of her professional and retired career trying to better understand single people in a society and culture that has for generations largely normalized and promoted people partnering up as the ideal way of living. She's been on a mission to get people to reinvent how they think and talk about living single. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Are you single? Is it by choice? How's being single been good for you, for your life? Were you partnered before, made a choice to become and stay single? And if you're single, what do you hear from other people? Do you get pressure to not be single soon or in the distant future? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Bella DiPaolo has researched and written about single people for decades. She writes the long-running Living Single blog for Psychology Today. She's an academic affiliate in the Department of Psychological and Brain Sciences at the University of California, Santa Barbara. She gave a very popular TEDx talk called What No One Ever Told You About People Who Are Single. Her newest book is called Single at Heart: The Power, Freedom, and Heart-Filling Joy of Single Life. Bella, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I love talking about this.
I can tell. Now, you reference your origin story, a specific day, December 17th, 1992, that you decided, hey, I'm going to switch what I work on and start studying single people. What? Why does that day turn into such a pivot point for you?
Yes. It was around the holidays, and there was an advice column in my local newspaper, and it was from someone who was widowed and sad to be alone during the holidays, and the advice columnist wrote a whole answer, and I underlined one sentence: remember that one is a whole number. Now, I didn't feel like I wasn't whole because I was single. But I thought it was really interesting that people would have that assumption that, oh, you need to be reassured that you're a whole person because you're single. Where did that come from? So I started keeping notes and files of all these different kinds of evidence of how people treat single or single people or think about them. Remember the Kathy cartoons from a long time ago? She was always saying, "Heck, you know, that's single." But even prestigious publications like the New Yorker and the New York Times were publishing comments about single people that were just disparaging. So at an event, at a social event one time, I went up to someone who I knew was single, but I didn't know her very well. And I said, have you ever had the experience of people like treating you differently because you're single? Like for me, for example, the person organizing the class schedule said she wanted me to come in at night because it would be too hard for the married faculty. And this was before any of them even had kids. Well, this other person said, oh, yes, and she started telling me her stories. Then other people joined the group, and they started telling their stories. And we talked all night. And then I opened my email the next day, and I had emails from some of them, and they said, oh, and another thing. So it was clear. This is something that resonates. And I'm an academic. I'm a professor, but a retired professor. But, you know, I realized this is something I want to get out there beyond just the halls of academia. This is something that people without higher degrees care about a lot.
Now, you formed this concept, that's also the title of your book, coincidentally, of somebody being single at heart, based not just on your experience, but on survey data and interview data with people around the world in many cases. What do we mean by single at heart?
Yes, people who are single at heart love being single. They want to be single. They're choosing it. They want to stay single. They are happy and flourishing because they are single, not in spite of it. Single life is a better life for them. It's their most meaningful, fulfilling, satisfying, and joyful life.
And you hear again and again the negatives, the yeah buts. And I think one of the top ones is going to be, yeah, but if you're not lonely now, You're going to be someday. This is something that, and this is not just you have heard this. A lot of the people you talk to have heard this. What is the response to that?
Oh, this is some of my favorite data. Sure, that's the stereotype. You poor thing, you think you're happy now. Just wait till you grow older. Well, there are now several studies, big national studies, following people, single people over the course of their lives. And they find, first of all, at every age from 20 to 96, they are on the happy side of the scale. And as they approach midlife and onto later life, they just keep getting happier and happier with their lives. And the people who want to be single, who are not looking for a partner, are becoming even happier. And one of the reasons the single at heart people are doing so well in later life is that they cherish solitude. They savor it. They're not afraid of being alone. And because they appreciate the time they have to themselves and they're comfortable with them, with it, that protects them from being lonely. It got us all through the worst of the pandemic. And it means that as we grow older, and I'm 70, by the way, as we grow older, we are very unlikely to become that stereotypical older person who feels isolated and lonely. That's not who we are. And one of the reasons we're not is because we have been tending to our friends and the people we care about all along. You know, there's this thing that some coupled people do, not all of them, but research shows that on average, when people who are coupled move in together or they get married, they become more insular. They kind of, their life becomes all about each other. And they do this even if they don't have kids. And so they're demoting their friends from dinner to lunch or, you know, weekend plays to plays for their that their kids give at their schools. Whereas single people and people who are single at heart and want to stay single, they don't do that. They're tending to the people in their lives who matter to them. And so those people are still there for them later in their life. Whereas the people who got married and then put their friends on the back burner, and again, not all married people do that, when they get divorced or widowed, wow, they are, then they're stuck. It's like they believe those song lyrics, "You are my everything. I just want to be your everything." But if that's true, then when you're divorced or widowed, you've got nothing.
Talking to Bella DiPaolo about her new book, Single at Heart, The Power, Freedom, and Heart-Filling Joy of Single Life. Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Sandy is with us in Mineral Point. Sandy, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I guess I am one of those single at heart people because I enjoy being single. I enjoy the freedom. I enjoy my friends. And despite the societal norms that have pushed on me always to get married and have kids, is like now I'm just not that interested.
Sandy, thanks a lot for the call. Now, Bella, Sandy mentioned two key F words there. Friends, you were just talking about that,
yeah.
And freedom. And then when you've talked to people and surveyed people about the values that make them happy to be single, that word, freedom, seems to come up an awful lot.
It did. When I asked people who are single at heart to tell me their life stories, and I asked them, what do you like about being single? Every one of them said freedom.
What is it about that value of freedom that is such a motivator for people who are single at heart?
I think what happens is that people who are single at heart use their freedom to pursue their interests and their values and to build a life that reflects who they are authentically. There are big studies based on hundreds and thousands of people from I think about 31 European nations that look at how much people value freedom and creativity and trying new things. And people who value freedom are happier, whether they're married or single. But the single people value it more and they get more out of it. So freedom makes single people even happier than it makes married people.
Thanks again for that call, Sandy. We're talking to Bella DiPaolo, an expert on single life who writes the Living Single blog at Psychology Today. We're talking about her new book. It's called Single at Heart, The Power, Freedom, and Heart-Filling Joy of Single Life. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have for our guest? Are you single at heart yourself? Does that concept make sense to you? Does it make sense to other people in your life, or do you get a lot of pushback? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with single life expert Bella DiPaolo, author of several books and the Living Single blog for Psychology Today. Her newest book is called Single at Heart, The Power, Freedom, and Heart-Filling Joy of Single Life. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Themes about how we think about single people come up a lot in pop culture. Here's a listen to the TV show 30 Rock, Alec Baldwin's character Jack Donaghy questioning Tina Fey's Liz Lemon.
Do you agree that you need someone in your life, Lemon?
No, I have bigger things to worry about than my personal life.
I would think that a single woman's biggest worry would be choking to death alone in her apartment. I have a friend in town I'd like to set you up with.
No, thank you.
Thomas is very bright, has a wonderful sense of humor. I think it's a good match. Are you free on Thursday?
No, Thursday is poker night. And by the way, it is completely inappropriate for you to be questioning me about my private life and then trying to set me up with someone when you don't even know anything about me.
Poker night, who plays?
Really? That's all you got out of that?
All right, Bella, first of all, the helpful friend, or in this case, coworker or boss, who's going to set you up with somebody because you need somebody. A common situation for the single at heart?
Yes, that was such a great clip. Thank you. And the assumptions behind that are just appalling, you know, that she needs someone that she needs to be fixed up, as if she's broken, as if she doesn't have a life that's full and fulfilling and joyful and a life that she chose. And those kinds of assumptions come up all the time. And for people who are not just single, but single at heart and love their single lives and want to stay single, in a way, it's even worse because people just, they can't fathom that. And so they'll say to us, oh, you just think that now, you'll get over it, or you just haven't met the right person. It's like they can't accept our own reports of how we feel, what we think about our lives. They think they know what's good for us better than we do. It's amazing. I mean, no one would ever say to a married person, oh, you know, you just think you like being married. Wait a few years, you'll get over it. You just don't know how to do single life.
And actually, the thing that pointed me toward that clip was the bit about, you know, you should be worried about choking to death alone in your apartment. There's a section in your book where this is a common objection. Like, hey, when you're older, you're going to need that significant other to help watch for your health.
Right. And what I say in the book is you're better off with a medical alert device, because if you have a spouse, you know, they might be at work or doing errands or traveling. And if you have a medical alert device, you know, it's always there. So get that. And you know that famous ad, oh, I've fallen, I can't get up. You know who that was? That was a Mrs. Where was her husband?
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Jim is with us in Juneau. Jim, hello.
Hello. Thanks for taking the call.
What do you want to tell us about?
About 4 years back, I broke up with a girlfriend, and, you know, it hurt at first, and I was kind of lost a little bit. But a little bit into that, I asked myself the question of exactly what I had lost. And to be honest, ever since then, I realized that I am a lot more stress-free without a relationship than I ever was able to be when I had a relationship. And I'm actually being a big part of my grandkids' lives now, which is much more important to me than, you know, trying to start up a new relationship.
So you're going to stick with it? Is that the plan, Jim? You're single at heart now?
Don't get me wrong. I date and stuff, but, you know, I at the end of the day, you know, if I'm not looking for something to you know, fix my life, I'm happy with my life finally.
Jim, thanks a lot for that call. Bella, that matches up with, I think, many of the stories you share in the new book.
It does. And what's wonderful about this story is that he is showing that he values relationships, but not just in the narrow, stingy sense of the word, when we use relationships to mean just romantic relationships. He cares about his grandkids and he understands their value. And that's one of the real strengths of people who are single at heart. A lot of people think, oh, if you're single, your life is more limited. But if you're single at heart, it's just the opposite, because we don't buy into the idea that there's only one kind of relationship that counts, or that love only comes in the romantic variety, or that family only is the people that are traditionally defined as family. We might have close friends that we consider family. We understand that intimacy could include sexual intimacy, but it also includes emotional intimacy. And all of those examples are reasons why single life can be so fulfilling.
Jim, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking to Bella DiPaolo about her new book, Single at Heart, The Power, Freedom, and Heart-Filling Joy of Single Life. Back to your calls. Fred is with us in Adams County. Fred, hi.
Good afternoon, Public Radio. Look, I've been I'm in my early 80s. I've been single for 30 years. I'll tell you, it's tough out there for women. I'll tell you what, most women, I'm working class kind of guy. They're lonesome. They're looking for a man. They're looking for somebody to fix their car. And I mean, when I got divorced for a big, large corporation in 1991, the women came out of the woodwork. I could have been married many times. I like women and everything, but this lady talks like she's in love with herself, and that's wonderful. But I'll tell you, women, they're competing for men out there, even at my age. Talk about...
Gotcha. Fred, thanks a lot for the call. Now, Bella, you are very clear in the book. Single life is happy for people who are, as you define it, single at heart. All those lessons don't apply if somebody's single but genuinely wants to be in a partnership of some sort.
Sure. The biggest lesson of my book isn't just that we should respect and value and validate people who are single and want to be single, but that everyone should get to live the life that is best for them. So many people are what you might call coupled at heart. They're powerfully drawn to single life, and they should be valued and validated too. But the thing is, they already are. You know, they don't need any extra pats on the head or rewards or valuing. They already got that.
Thanks a lot for that call. I want to talk a little bit about pop culture, Bella, because if we started listening movies where our hero starts off single at the beginning and ends up happily married or, you know, on the way at the end, we could talk all day. I try to think of movies where somebody starts off single and they end up being single and realizing they're really happy being single. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. My list is zero. They're probably out there. That message is so powerful in our popular culture.
You're right. It's so rare. And everybody is missing out when that happens. First of all the people who love being single are missing out on seeing themselves represented in popular culture. And it's sad for people watching it who aren't single at heart, who aren't going to understand that for some people, single life is their best life. And these script writers are missing out on great opportunities. I mean, imagine if they came up with a show in which they show what single at heart people are thinking that they typically only say to themselves. That's hilarious. Like, imagine what they're thinking when a group of people are together and one of them says, oh, I just got engaged, and shows the engagement ring and everybody squeals with joy. The single at heart people are really going to have a field day. That. Or, I mean, if you remember back Sex and the City, there's this famous scene where the four women are at a wedding and the bouquet gets tossed and they all look at it and watch it and let it drop in front of them. And then they turn around and walk away and go to brunch together. I mean, I just love that.
Just in our last minute or so, Bella, when somebody confronts that question, in a judgy way, why are you still single? The advice is don't ask that question. But for the person who's asked that question, a thought for a response that doesn't involve fisticuffs.
Right. You know, I like to be straightforward and say I love being single and I don't ever want to be anything else. But you can also ask, what Chris Marsh suggests this in her great book. She asks, why do you ask that? And if you keep asking that, they will realize what an inappropriate question it is.
Bella, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That's Bella DiPaolo, expert on single life, who writes the Living Single blog for Psychology Today. She's an academic affiliate in the Department of Psychological and Brain Sciences at the University of California, Santa Barbara. We've been talking about her new book. It's called Single at Heart, The Power, Freedom, and Heart-Filling Joy of Single Life. Still time for you to share your thoughts, your experiences. You can email ideas@WPR.org, or you can post over on the Ideas Network Facebook page.